welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for listening with us, and we ask you to visit our sponsors and supporters. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Diane Bauer.
Pat Park.
Charlie Loferno.
Julie Loferno.
Well, welcome, everybody. And by the way, I think the first thing that, Pat, you wanted to get us off on a good footing.
I want to talk about Davos. I mean, it's
a today thing.
It's international news,
and
it has to be because, as somebody pointed out on a TV show, Donald Trump is the most famous man worldwide. Everybody knows who Trump is. He's the most discussed. He's the most well-known guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shows up at Davos, and you notice before he got there, all the EU people were like, oh, Doozy's coming. Oh. And he's going to squash us like bugs. Yes.
That's
yeah, and Denmark didn't go. They were afraid to go. I guess they didn't want to talk about Greenland anymore.
Well, so, just to go in that rabbit hole. Greenland, you said some of the EU forces, like Germany, sent forces to Greenland?
They sent 13 troops. And they're not the only ones. I think France sent two. And I think the UK sent one.
But they've been recalled. Some of them have been recalled.
Well, I don't know. All I know is the Germans went home.
Okay.
So two dog sleds and 13 German soldiers. You know that's got to discourage Trump. Yeah. Ooh, we're scared.
Now, is Trump showing up at Davos? Are we talking about the end of the move toward global governance?
Well, I read an article that said he's the beginning of the downfall of the WEF, the World Economic Forum, which has been pushing globalist government. You remember Klaus Schwab said, you will own nothing and you will like it.
Yes.
And you will eat the bugs.
Yes.
Yes. So we'll see, because, you know, as Trump is restructuring the world.
Yes.
NATO is splitting over Greenland.
And he's also restructuring the UN. He's about to make them irrelevant.
Right.
As well they should be.
Right. He's defunded 66 different UN agencies. We're not going to pay for anymore. They went through all of them and said, these are all anti-American. We're not paying for them. And the UN started crying about it. You're destroying the UN. But not only a split in NATO, because the EU, the NATO countries are saying we line up with Denmark and we'll be on their side if U.S. tries to take Greenland. Well, what happens to NATO when the U.S. is no longer part of NATO?
It has no money.
They pay all the bills.
Last week when I was here, I denigrated NATO because when I was stationed in Germany twice, we were, of course, part of NATO, and it was just a joke. You know, they had different frequencies. They couldn't talk to each other. Their equipment wasn't
was coordinated.
Interoperable. They used different bullet sizes, the different weapons. Just ridiculous.
Now, to go back to Denmark and Greenland, one of the things that has come out that really disturbed me was the fact that Denmark was doing involuntary sterilization on the women of Greenland. Now, it seems to me that we have international laws against things like that, don't we?
Well, it's been the 90s, right?
Well, and they've apparently apologized in recent days.
Well, what
about
can you do
that?
About it?
What I can
mean,
you do about it?
Any time limitations have certainly
right.
passed. It's been 30 years.
Well, I just don't think after doing that they deserve to own Greenland.
Well, it's up to Greenland. I mean,
yeah.
if the people of Greenland, this is the first time we've heard of it. They finally complained about it, even though they have said if it's between the U.S. and Denmark, we choose Denmark.
But then I just heard that Trump now has formed a framework to acquire or to work with Denmark and Greenland to work out a framework of government and how things will move forward. So I think that's a very positive step. I think they were all worried he was going to come in and just take over, which he's not. He always gives the worst and makes them all worried. And then he throws in his tariffs. And now he's not going to put on the tariffs and raise the tariffs. So I think everybody's kind of calming down. And I think now the framework can really move forward without those worries and that extreme language, which is the art of the deal.
But well, we don't know what the framework is.
No, we don't know that yet.
Denmark used to own Iceland, and Iceland has been an independent, albeit socialist, country for a number of years now. So I don't know the history of how Iceland got away from Denmark, but it seems like they've been through this before.
Other than defending it in World War II.
It had something to do with the end of World War II, because the Allies had been, U.S. and U.K. had been defending it, and I think they decided to stay with them. And Denmark said, okay.
Well, and also the reason that President Trump wants to acquire this is for not only our national security, but the security of the whole world, because we pretty much defend the whole world.
Yes.
You know, so and the very people that we defend are kind of bucking out against us. But Greenland controls the northern missile corridor, correct, the Arctic shipping lanes, and the gateway to North America. And I read that there's a waterway, I think it's in between or adjacent to Greenland and Iceland. It's the only way to get to the Atlantic from probably Russia. So this is for our safety. We need to control that waterway.
Yes.
And it's also part of the Golden Dome.
Yes, the Golden Dome. I was just about to say that. And he made a big point of saying the Golden Dome will protect Canada. So he's letting Canada know, like, stop going against us and trying to make deals
with the Chinese.
Yeah.
Like,
by the way, don't forget, a most important fact is that Greenland is part of NORAD, which is tracking Santa Claus. So
Well, it was funny. At one point, when we were visiting Iceland, I learned that Iceland during World War II had been taken over by the British and the Americans to control the shipping lanes. So that's very similar. And the Icelandic person that I was talking to, I said to him, how did you feel about being taken over by the British and the Americans? And he said, well, we didn't mind the Brits, but when the Americans came, they stole our women.
Well, that's what the Brits said. They said, the Americans are here, they're oversexed, overpaid, and over here.
I think what a lot of people don't understand is that Greenland, this is not President Trump's thing. He didn't just...
No, this has been done before.
He didn't see a white spot on the map and say, that's what I want. This has been going on all the way since we acquired Alaska back in the 1800s.
To go along with what you said, Pat, the Americans said about the British, they're underpaid, undersexed, and under Eisenhower.
But it's, this is a wise strategic move. Oh,
it is.
And I just hope if we do wind up taking it over in some way, that we treat the natives a little bit better than the Danish have treated
them.
Well,
they're not anticipating that we will, are they? You know, polls over there show they don't want America there. And the polls in our country say Americans aren't in favor of us acquiring Greenland.
Well, we already have some ballistic missile. I mean, we already have military capability in Greenland already.
There are mineral resources up there that would be viable to us.
Yeah. Deep underground, though.
Yes.
Very deep underground.
Very deep, yeah.
And you got to get through the ice to get to underground.
Yeah. Pat, you wanted to send us in another direction. Minnesota.
Minnesota.
The land of coal.
Talk about Minnesota. Oh.
10,000 lakes and 6 fish.
Yeah. it disturbs me that their AG, Keith Ellison, who's been caught on tape promising Somalis that he will make criminal cases against them go away, is defending the storming of the church by the anti-ICE crowd.
An assault on a church, yes.
Yes. He says there's no law against it, and they're just going to have to, the churches are just going to have to learn to live with it.
There is a law against it.
There is a law against it.
And is it called the FACE Act?
Well, there's the FACE Act, the Ku Klux Klan Act.
Yep.
And I think one other law, and I forget which one it is, that he's looking at charges for. And so is Don Lemon.
Yep.
It's federal civil rights acts, so
right.
The state has no say in it.
Well, apparently Keith Ellison knows of the First Amendment. He knows about the right to free speech, but he forgot about the right to practice your religion.
Correct.
And there's a federal law that specifically protects churches from this kind of invasion, so to speak. But we're just looking at mob action. I mean, I saw the video of some civilians that stopped this guy in his SUV and made him get out and open the back of his SUV to prove he wasn't a nice person. Mm. Because his SUV looked like one of the vehicles they use.
Yeah, they're saying, well, don't rent white trucks. Yeah.
So this is lawlessness.
Yes.
It's
and
mob.
If we don't deal with it now, it's going to get worse and show up in other places.
Well, Trump has been talking about invoking the Insurrection Act. And I read an article yesterday that said, well, what is he waiting for? And this article suggested that he's waiting for an atrocity.
Oh, dear.
So that it doesn't look like
political
violence, heavy-handed federal intervention, that it looks like, okay, this triggered the Insurrection Act.
Well, they're headed in that direction.
They certainly are.
And again, if lawlessness becomes acceptable in Minnesota, it's going to become acceptable in other places.
Correct.
I mean, we've already seen some of it in California.
Well, don't forget New York. They ginned up 4,000 anti-ICE. Mm-hmm.
Now, New Bern yesterday, we're recording this on Wednesday, had an anti-ICE protest yesterday downtown.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They had a dump Trump group in front of the Veterans Assistance Office.
Yeah,
on
and there
MLK.
Were five of them. There were five of them.
There were more than
all five.
There were more than five?
Yeah, when I saw them.
Okay, the picture was five. How many would you guess?
8 to 10.
What a crowd.
What they were holding at the one old, and they were old people.
Yes.
They were boomers. They were all our ages.
Yeah.
And they were holding up a sign that said, a handmade sign, Dump Trump. I almost pulled in there and said, you've got a lot of nerve to be standing in front of the veterans office, but I kept going. I was in the wrong lane.
Lucky them.
Yes, lucky them. Oh, they wouldn't have been able to hit me.
Okay.
Yeah. Young whippersnapper.
Just run and they can't run.
Okay. Yeah. Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're heading off in a different direction. I think we're heading off to the
Virginia.
State, to the state nearest to us. Yes, that has a total change.
Virginia has gone from a Republican-controlled state and the Democrats have taken over the legislature and the governor's office. Mm-hmm. And I have a list of a few of the bills that have been introduced.
Well, before you do that, the first thing she did after she was inaugurated was sign an executive order that Virginia would no longer cooperate with ICE.
Yes.
Yes, to undo what Governor Youngkin had just put into place.
Okay. 4.3% sales tax on Uber Eats, Amazon, and deliveries. New sales tax on admissions to a wide variety of businesses. Two new higher tax brackets of 8 and 10% of people making over $600,000. A 10% tax bracket for anyone making over $1 million. 3.8% investment tax on top of state income taxes.
Mary, can I interrupt? You said those taxes on people earning a lot of money. You mean like all the people that work in D.C.?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Raising the hotel tax. Personal property tax on landscaping equipment. Banning gas-powered leaf blowers. Guaranteeing free education for illegal aliens. Making it illegal to approach anyone at an abortion clinic.
Let me interrupt. The illegal education for out-of-state, well, they're out-of-state, they're out-of-country illegals. There's a court case going on. There's a constitutional argument, equal protection, to be made.
Okay.
And there's a court case going on somewhere in the U.S. that may decide that issue for Virginia, that it'll be illegal.
If it goes up to the Supreme Court.
It's illegal to give them preference over American citizens who are required to pay out-of-state tuition.
Well, that makes sense. Extend the time absentee ballots can be received after Election Day to 3 days. Allow people to cast their votes electronically through the internet. Ranked choice voting.
Oh, geez.
Extend the deadline for ballot curing for 1 week after Election Day. Redact the addresses of political candidates from FOIAs. Make it illegal to hand count ballots. $500 sales tax on firearm suppressors. Assault weapons and large capacity magazine ban. 11% sales tax on all firearms and ammunition. Prohibit outdoor shooting of a firearm on land less than 5 acres. Lower the criminal penalties for robbery.
What?
Yes.
Ban the arrest of illegal aliens in courthouses.
Let me interrupt here on robbery. The difference between robbery and larceny. Larceny, you just steal their stuff. Robbery, you use force that may injure someone to take their property from them. So if you were going to reduce penalties, it would make sense to reduce penalties on larceny rather than robbery.
Yes.
Hmm. So if they're reducing that.
Remove mandatory minimum sentences. Allow localities to install speed cameras. And replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. That's a partial list of the bills that are being introduced in Virginia. So I figure North Carolina is going to have a population boom somewhere around Care Lake, up in Gastonia, up through there. Well, a lot of people are just going to move right across the line.
It's known that Democrats are all in favor of higher taxes. I don't know what Virginia expected. But I went to law school with a guy from New Mexico, and I heard him call Northern Virginia Occupied Virginia.
Yep.
And I thought that was a good term for that. That's where all the
government workers live.
So nothing positive.
No.
No positive laws or anything that she's coming out with to incentivize the people of Virginia
or businesses.
And
well, there might be something positive if you don't want your neighbor using his leaf blower.
Nothing to encourage law-abiding people.
Correct.
In Virginia. A lot to benefit criminals.
Yeah.
I mean, you're taxing.
And it's mostly about taking.
Yes.
Yes.
But from their perspective, I'm going to say not to confuse that with transgender renaming or whatever, but they want our money. They think they have better use for our money than we do.
Well, they want their pockets filled.
Oh, they want not only their pockets, their friends' pockets.
And how much of this money, again, let's talk about all the welfare and various other scandals we're seeing around the country. How much of this money actually gets audited?
Well, look at Kathy Hochul. She's just getting, they're just finding in New York how much money she's put under her from the various things. She has like 1.2 million or billion that they're finding that she's...
But doesn't the New York State Constitution, like the North Carolina one, still say you have to have a balanced budget?
I don't know.
So you just get more money from the taxpayers.
Well, they're just following the example our federal government has set.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a balanced budget either.
No.
I came across a story last week about, and this was back in Minnesota, there was a bureaucrat who approved one of these massive grants that was going out to an organization. After she approved the grant, she resigned her position in the bureaucracy and went to work as a consultant for the organization that she had just given this really large grant to. So my question when this whole thing broke was, who's writing the grants, who's signing the grants, and who's signing the checks? I think that one little incident might give us some insight into how this works.
You know, my years in academia while I was at ECU, and I watched the associate professors trying to make full professor or get tenure,
mm-hmm.
You have to get grants. If you don't bring money in, then you're not on the list for people that are, up for promotion. And so part of the requirement for being an associate professor there is to generate grant writing. So they have, how to write a grant, how to administer a grant, how many grants did you get? So when you put together your tenure book, they understand how much money you brought into the
So it's all about dollars. It's not about education.
Right. Well, you see some of the articles they you also have to have so many publications.
Publish, yes. Publish.
You look at the publications, and some of them are so silly. It's unbelievable.
Okay. I actually want to go to something positive.
Go for it.
I have a note here, just a fact. As many as 25 nations have signed onto Trump's Board of Peace.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that a positive?
Because I'm hoping that will eventually mean the end of the UN. I don't know. But anyway, and I have a list of four things Trump has done to dismantle the deep state.
This is from the Daily Signal. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear them.
He has reinstated Schedule F. That means that he can fire bureaucrats, making it easier to fire bureaucrats. He set up DOGE. DOGE has revealed a lot of things about money that I think most of us were totally unaware of. I'm particularly thinking about USAID. He, during the shutdown, the Office of Management and Budget cut $8 billion in blue state energy projects. And he has also investigated the deep state abuses in the Russia hoax. Now, I want to see people go to jail. Now, right now, Bill and Hillary Clinton, who have been called into Congress to talk about Epstein, have defied that subpoena and said they are willing to talk to Comey off the record without anybody transcribing it.
Comer,
I'm sorry. Without anybody transcribing it and without Congress being aware of what was said. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. And I want to see if what happens to them is anywhere near what happened to Peter Navarro.
Exactly.
And
oh,
Steve
go.
Bannon.
There you go.
Is it, that baffles me because I know they went to jail. It's because there's nobody presently there that's willing to send them to jail? I mean, they're doing the same thing.
Is there not enough evidence to legally get them?
Well, they defied a subpoena.
No, they defied a subpoena.
They went to jail for defying a subpoena.
So then
Navarro,
they should be in jail.
So they have to vote on whether or not that constitutes contempt of Congress.
Okay.
And then they vote on the punishment.
But does that go through a Washington jury at any point?
No.
So well, I don't understand no, why all of a sudden when you get to Hillary and Bill, nothing happens.
Well, again, somehow we're running based on civil treatment of individuals and you know, innocent until proven guilty and whatever else. But the opposition was not treating anybody that way. The lawfare set up a whole different set of rules. Gosh.
Well, the good thing about doing it civilly is that the burden of proof on the plaintiff is 51%. In a criminal case, it's more like 99% for the plaintiff, i.e. the state. And so I heard, I was listening to talk radio yesterday, and they had a guest on, and he said, as far as Minnesota goes, they ought to sue them civilly so that their burden of proof is lower.
Interesting.
And use the discovery process mm-hmm. in a civil case to get all their communications, mm-hmm. all the background information. And then once they've pursued the civil case, then they can go criminal and they've got all this evidence that they've you know, gotten during the civil case. And if you recall, O.J. Simpson, he got off on the criminal case, but he lost the civil case, which is why he ended up having to pay the family.
Goldman's. Right, yeah, and in a civil case, I think hearsay stands around.
No.
I think you can
hearsay is not admissible in a civil case.
I think the media stays around in civil cases and taints the jury.
We've seen that. Because if you had a contempt of Congress case tried in Washington, D.C. with a Washington, D.C. jury with Bill and Hillary, you'd never get a conviction.
That's true.
You might have a slight chance of getting a conviction from Congress, although it's questionable.
Yeah.
But again, if these are federal, who decides the jurisdiction for holding the trial?
I just think it's interesting. All of these potential court cases are now being rebranded as political retribution. You know, there can't possibly be any merit to the charge, so it's just politics.
Which never happened when they came after Trump.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. No, they were always above board, right?
Yes. Okay. Folks, on that, we'll take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. We're going to shift hats again.
One of the things that I think is significant that has happened in the past year is the closing of the southern border. I don't know the exact numbers, but the people getting into America illegally now is probably in tens rather than thousands.
Did they, in fact, finish the fence?
I don't know.
I think they're still building it.
And they're putting barriers, floating barriers in the water that are supposedly almost impossible to navigate.
I remember when Abbott was doing that. And when Biden was in, he said you have to remove it by federal
law.
Too
cruel.
Yes, too cruel.
They're too inhumane.
The courts. Okay.
These look like great big long barrels.
Yes.
And they're attached to one another.
To keep the little ships, the little boats
from
getting ashore.
Right. Yeah.
But what possible benefit was it during the 4 years of Biden to leave the border wide open? What did we gain?
Oh,
we
voters
as a USA?
Yes.
We didn't gain anything. The Democrats did.
What
they
gained their voting base.
They gained new voters.
Yep.
They're hoping to give them all amnesty, and they'll have a permanent Democrat voting block.
Yes, that's what they wanted to do.
Is it a quote from the Babylon Bee that the ICE now is impairing the illegals from properly getting out to vote?
Well, Babylon Bee.
But it is funny.
But it's, I think that's, now that has actually helped in some of our major cities. Closing that border has helped with the housing shortage. Because when you have thousands of people that you have removed, the housing market changes.
Mm-hmm. Not only have they closed the border, they've also cut off funds to those that are here. And it's like throwing garbage in your yard and being concerned that the dogs are coming around. Well, if you stop throwing the garbage out, the dogs will leave.
Well, there's been mixed results on stopping funding. Every time Trump tries to stop funding to something, the courts weigh in and say, you can't do that. And so he gets mixed results. You know, he tried to fire Lisa Cook from the Fed, and the Supreme Court heard arguments on that yesterday. So we'll see what happens with that.
By the end of June.
That was lying on a mortgage application, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah. If you're doing mortgage fraud, what are you doing sitting on the Fed?
Is she an official in the executive branch?
She's in the Fed.
Yes.
Well, then
The Fed is independent.
Yeah.
The Fed is, quote, independent.
Are you saying, is this the Federal Reserve?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And in the past year, they've carried out 650,000 arrests, detentions, and deportations of illegal aliens.
Not enough.
Not considering how many millions there are here.
But they've gotten rid of killers, rapists, gang members, and repeat offenders.
Oh, it's a good start. But, you know, Obama brags that he did 3 million. Well, even if they do 650,000 a year for 4 years, that's not even close to 3 million.
Well, one of the things I read about that number was that during the Obama administration, if you were stopped at the border and turned back, they considered that a deportation.
Right.
So their numbers were padded.
But nobody cried over him deporting people.
No, because he apparently did it humanely, and the news has convinced people that they're pulling children out of homes, they're storming schools, they're beating people up, they're killing people. You know, they're separating families, and none of it is true.
We have cut fentanyl trafficking at the southern border by 56%. How many lives has that saved?
That's tremendous.
there's only been 27,000 fentanyl deaths in the last year.
That all?
And it was way, it was more like it went from 63% to 17%, I think.
Good. Wow.
That's a good start.
So this is a life and death issue for Americans.
Yes, sure.
It yes, it is.
Not to mention the human trafficking that's going on. How many children they've rescued.
I believe that President Trump said when he was first elected that he was going to deport those that were the worst offenders first. Mm-hmm. And perhaps he's been concentrating on those kind of people.
The worst of the worst, right? Right.
Well, there was a video of, I think you mentioned this, Diane, there was a video of some people blocking an ICE agent trying to get to a child molester. Do you want a child molester in your neighborhood?
Well, because if you ask them, the response is, how do we know he's a child molester? They're just making it up.
That's Ilhan Omar said when she was on TV that ICE has never presented any evidence to the American people that these people have convictions or that they've done anything wrong. So they're just pulling random people.
Right. But then when you look, when Trump did his speech the other day, he held up the pictures. Wanted. Here, this is wanted. He was a convict. He was convicted of child molesting. This one was rape and this. So he's showing people, but who's seeing that? That's the problem. It's not getting
and,
it.
And also the complaints of him destroying those boats carrying drugs to the States.
Oh, they were just fishing boats.
They were just fishing boats.
The submarines were. Yeah, the subs were fishing boats.
And, and we know that those have been valid attacks on the United States.
Isn't it interesting? And I don't know. There are people here that are probably not old enough to remember this, and I don't want to go there if that's the case. Anybody remember Ilhan Gonzalez?
Yes. Yes.
What they went through to get him back to
home.
Cuba?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the little
pointing
boy.
A machine yeah. gun at a little kid.
In his face. He and his dad were in the closet.
Yeah, in the closet. Remember the closet?
I mean, what happened? What changed?
Because they sent out everybody who was in jail. They rid their jailers. They opened their jails to come to America.
Well, what happened with Ilhan Gomez? Is it Gomez or Gonzalez?
Gonzalez,
yeah.
Gonzalez. What happened with that? There was a Democrat in the president. And they were taking up for Cuba. Cuba was demanding the kid back. And the argument for people in favor of Ilhan staying here was that if he went back to Cuba, he would be brought up to be a communist.
Which he was.
He would be, living in poverty, blah, blah, blah. So it would be better if he stayed in the U.S. And the president took the side of Cuba. Mm-hmm. Therefore, any armed action by the Democrats... okay by me.
Because they said he was illegally brought here or whatever. So now, look, we're doing this. They're coming illegally, so we should be sending them back.
I am looking forward to the day Cuba collapses.
Oh, it's going to happen.
It'll be soon.
Yeah, because they don't have any. They won't have any gasoline eventually.
They don't have any oil, yeah.
They won't have anything.
Wow.
We just grabbed the seventh. Oil tanker mm-hmm. from Venezuela.
Yep.
Now, the other interesting thing that has happened in the past year, we have seen the largest increase in blue-collar wage growth in nearly 60 years because we're not taxing tips. We're not taxing overtime. And our tax rates... we avoided the largest tax rate in history when they passed the big, beautiful bill. And the tariffs are going to bring back manufacturing to America. And I believe they're going to bring back a different breed of manufacturing that we've seen in the past. I believe they're going to bring back a much more technologically advanced manufacturing than what we've had in the past.
Well, we'll have to see what the Supreme Court does.
We don't, because we're waiting for that too.
Right.
But if President Trump can pull that off, then what he's done again is to incentivize those that work rather than incentivizing those that don't.
Yes.
And they even said at the Ford Motor at the factories yes. now, the factories are really producing a lot of cars and trucks. I mean, they're really seeing an uptake, and the people who are working there are getting the overtime.
They're 24/7.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy.
And they're going back from the EV vehicles to the yes. gas-powered vehicles because they survive in the cold.
Want it. Well, free market decides.
Yes.
When President Trump was at the Ford plant recently, the leadership there said, as far as adding that different shift so that it was a 24-hour-a-day mm-hmm. production, he says, I've never seen anything like it. He was so excited about it.
Well, he wasn't around in World War II.
Probably not.
None of us were either, but we can read about it. Yeah, they were running 24/7.
Again, having worked for a company that was given a government priority that says you will work 24/7 on a defense contract and
but they're getting
understand
back.
Yes, that was a very, very enthusiastic time for
yes.
everybody, and it was great for them to work under that kind of pressure.
Was that during Reagan?
This was during Reagan, yeah. Yes.
But they're getting back to building the cars that people buy.
Correct. We're not being forced.
We're not going to be forced to buy some little plastic thing that looks like if it goes more than 20 miles an hour is going to fall apart.
I'd like to mention when they were advertising electric pickup trucks, and I thought to myself, someone that really uses a pickup truck in business is not going to have time to go to a charging station and wait for that vehicle to charge. And they don't go that far on a charge. So it's completely impractical for the purpose that they were building it.
Particularly if you're in the Northeast, because battery life drops drastically in cold weather.
And what was...
So if you have an electric snowplow, you're going to plow 30 feet, and then you're done.
And what was the bit about the school bus?
The school kids in upstate New York that were left on the bus mm-hmm. with no heat for hours because the battery went dead and they couldn't get to them right away.
Yeah.
I would be upset if I were a parent of one of those kids. Yeah. But there may come a day when electric vehicles make sense, but this isn't it. So, you know, it's nice to see manufacturing going back to what people want to buy rather than what the government tells them they're supposed to want.
If something is impractical, it has to be forced upon people. And that's what they were doing with the electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to force people to buy them for the good of the environment, supposedly.
And you know who made money on the whole electric vehicle and solar scam? China,
of course.
Oh, batteries.
Because the solar panels come from China. The rare earth minerals for the battery. I mean, China made a whole lot of money on green energy.
I think I'm going to take that silence as a lead into, let's go back to our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's,
it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. We're going to head off in other different directions.
I just want to mention quickly that one of the accomplishments of the first year of the Trump administration has been reducing the trade deficit to the lowest level since 2009. That is a result of tariffs and leveling the playing field.
And I guess the real question is, are tariffs in the control of the president, or are they in the control of the Supreme Court?
No, the Congress.
The Supreme Court is waiting.
The Supreme Court is going to decide whether Congress has the power to set tariffs or the president.
Right.
So it would be up to 425 people in Congress to squabble over whether to change a tariff.
They can't agree on anything. How do we expect them to set tariffs?
However, the Supreme Court, we have heard for weeks, the Supreme Court's going to make the announcement today, They have not. Apparently, it won't come out for months.
Well, I haven't heard that. I don't know when it'll come out.
Neither do I.
And I hope they delay it as long as they can until they figure out what the impact of tariffs really are.
Yeah, from what we've seen on other things, whether it's inflation or whether it's a trade imbalance.
Well, it's not inflation because inflation's down below 2.7%.
And it's not hurting the stock markets. It's up everywhere.
However, that's down the last 2 days because of the Denmark thing.
Because Denmark is selling $100 million in U.S. Treasury bonds.
Yeah, because they're mad at us.
Yeah, well, other countries have threatened to get rid of U.S. assets, too, and that would gut punch us.
Yeah.
Well, gee, what would they do if we decided to pull our support, our defense support from them?
Well, we've always been good, and that has been taken for granted, and that's why we've had such an uneven trade.
I know. We have 80,000 U.S. troops in Europe. That's just above the cutoff for the prohibition against removing any more because it would need congressional approval. So getting congressional approval to remove any more U.S. troops from NATO would be problematic, I think.
Getting Congress to agree on anything is problematic.
Well, that's true. But
it's the nature of the beast.
But, you know, and it takes a weapon out of Trump's quiver.
Yes.
Well, it takes a weapon, yeah. It slows the weapon down an awful lot. Well, I know that he's got ways of negotiating and getting around.
Yeah, but a president can make quick decisions. We have a Congress now that can't even make any decision, that's a problem.
I wish that when NATO, like they almost did, threatened us with military action, like when they sent the 13 German troops to Greenland, and Denmark was making noises about going against NATO, that he could just take 40,000 troops out of NATO. Not only is it a financial hit, think of all the money, the American money that's flowing mm-hmm. through their economy,
mm-hmm.
But it guts NATO. Let's make them think about it.
Well, again, in President Trump's first term, when he demanded that NATO countries start paying their defense bill, which they had not been doing for years and years and years, I don't know whether they're paying it now.
Some of them are. Some of them aren't.
Okay, Julie, you
wanted to go.
Yeah, I read an interesting article. This is an enigma to me. I guess I don't understand it, not being a feminist. But this was an article by a man named David Strom,
Yeah, he's hot air.
He's a political policy advisor and a speechwriter. And according to him, political scientists and others have been telling us for the last few years that women have been moving radically left at a scale and speed with no modern precedent. And it's they're outpacing white men. The trend is especially true in women under 30 and over 65.
Well, under 30 would make sense because of our colleges.
Yes, the brainwashing going on.
Over 65, our colleges in the 60s, some of were very questionable.
Well, like I said when you brought it up while we were off air, it's the feminist movement. Now, when feminism first reared its ugly head in the 70s, I was a feminist, proud feminist. But when they switched to supporting lesbians, I was gone. But the feminist movement is what has captured all these women to tell them, men are bad because of domestic violence. They want to get you pregnant, so you're forced to stay in the house, so don't have any kids. So you notice a lot of these angry women don't have kids.
Correct.
And are adamantly against having kids. That may be a double-edged sword. We've missed that bullet. This is the foundation on this other political movement that they're firing up, is the bedrock of feminism.
So where is NOW today? What happened to the
well? They're
the
certainly
organizations?
They're not protesting what's happening in Iran.
No.
The feminist movement, when it first happened, one of the things they said that I thought was really good: equal pay for equal work.
That's fine.
That was a valid gripe then. It's not a valid gripe now because that's pretty much evened out. But when they got into pro-abortion and all that other garbage, no.
You want to know where NOW is today? NOW has moved to The View. And the reason I say that, and we heard this yesterday, that apparently Pam Grier, who was an actress and for a number of years
in blaxploitation
in black, and she was on The View within the last couple of days and talking about her growing up in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes.
And experiencing all of the lynchings that went on as she grew up. She was born in 1949, I believe it was, and the last lynching that they talk about was back
1911.
And so where in The View's perspective this went on totally unchallenged? Why do we not understand that some of these crazy things are so?
Well, she had such a convincing story. She said that the military wouldn't let the black people stay on base, so they didn't have a car because they were so poor, as if black people got paid less than white people in the military, which is not true. And they had to walk to and from the base. And when they would walk home, their mother would turn their head away from looking at the trees because there would be a lynched person hanging there.
Brother.
And she got all emotional about it.
And she was the actress, yes.
And the last lynching was 1911. So she would have to be 114 even to have been born when the last lynching.
But again, when things come out on The View, is that now taken as the gospel?
But do people watch that and believe it's
people
true?
People love that show.
The crazies that watch that show. Yeah.
The people that watch that are not interested in the other side.
They're not interested in the truth.
They're not fact-checking.
They want to believe this stuff.
No, they don't fact-check on The View.
They don't fact-check.
The only way I see The View is I watched the Greg Gutfeld show. And
he's good.
He plays clips all the time from The View so they can make fun of him. Like when Whoopi Goldberg said Jill Biden ought to be the Surgeon General because she's a hell of a doctor.
Oh.
And one of the others said, well, she's a teacher. Oh, I thought she was, a medical doctor. She's a hell of a doctor.
Gosh. I'm going to mention one thing. I don't know how much time we have. There is a book that is just coming out by Peter Schweitzer called The Invisible Coup: How American Elites and Foreign Powers Use Immigration as a Weapon. And it talks about the explanatory memorandum on the grand strategic goal for the Brotherhood in North America, which is the guideline of the Muslim Brotherhood for taking over the country. And I have an article, there's an article up on Right Wing Granny about the book that has a link to that publication because it was part of the government's exhibits in the Holy Land Foundation trial. Now, if you follow the link, the first 12 pages are in Arabic, so that's not going to do you any good. But if you get past those, you get to the English translation, and you find unindicted co-conspirators like CARE, the Islamic Association of North America.
ISNA, yeah.
C-A-I-R.
Yes, C-A-I-R.
C-A-R-E.
And a lot of organizations that you hear frequently on the news stated as, you know, nice, helpful organizations, and they're not. So I just want to recommend a book.
By the way, one of the other things, just to let everybody know, was it yesterday or the 20th yesterday, we're recording on the 21st, was the year anniversary of President Trump being inaugurated, and he and the White House did publish 365 things that he's accomplished in that 1 year. And we've been referring to a number of the items that he's mentioned in there, including things like creating the Trump accounts to empower the next generation of Americans through tax advantage savings accounts for newborns, and providing them with as much as $300,000 to come at their 18th birthday. And along with that, Michael and Susan Dell and some other major companies have also bellied up to the bar to contribute, to say, we'll also contribute to those folks and contribute to the gap. I mean, these are things that nobody ever would have thought of.
Again, he's incentivizing those that work, those that produce.
Which, going back to the founding of the country, both the mistakes in Plymouth and the mistakes in Jamestown when they came over to set up their socialist societies, they failed. And when all of a sudden you had to earn to eat, okay.
The free market took over
market
and they had surpluses.
Well, Jesus said in the Bible, he who does not work does not eat.
There you go.
So I'm surprised that a religious colony would think that you didn't have to work to eat.
Well, theoretically, they would share the work. And unfortunately, when you're washing other people's socks, you might not do it as enthusiastically as when you're washing your own socks.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't even like to touch my own socks.
That's the problem. Somebody else will do it.
Yeah.
I can have a hurt ankle, and somebody else will do the work.
Yeah, and I'll get what I need, whether I work or not. That's so right. What difference
does it make?
So
why should I work?
And we're in the midst of either trying to undo a society where you can't fail, because if you can't fail, there's no need to succeed, because I can't fail.
I remember a previous president said he wasn't about equal rights, he was about equal results.
Obama.
And the big, yes, correct. And the problem with that is that two families can get the same amount of income. One family will spend it wisely, another family will spend it foolishly. So you can't possibly have an equal outcome.
And you also have people have different talents, different work ethics.
That's right.
Different abilities. And people who work harder need to be rewarded for working harder.
Equal outcomes is the definition of equity. So when
yes.
You hear DEI,
mm-hmm.
When you hear the word equity. They're talking about even outcomes.
And because of my scenario, there is no equity. Because family, like I said, will waste theirs on whatever.
Somebody with an IQ of 130 can outperform somebody with an IQ of 85, and that's the way God made us.
That's right.
And sometimes the guy that's got the 85 IQ. Folks, we're going to end the show. You have a wonderful week. This is CCT8 Wake Up Call.